SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Pharrell on the bench, coast to coast in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad seat, the broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude, man, or bad at a bad tape, bad lot, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Varela Palatial, right across the river to the woods from where Granny loves a Jody rip of the Two Scoops Hybrid in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directly driving, some kind of fashion shake it up, should do. All my friends that come around, thoughts of the party, oh, rats on the west side, bebubs, I'll tell you what the best is, times are tattered, my brain splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shaking, ooh, it's only rock and roll, but I like it, yes I do, but I like it, hey, what's gigging, I'm Pharrell, along with Carver High, Mafia, Hayden Fry, running it at LTN in Kansas City, Mo, a birthday roll call on a midweek, where do you hurt, Wednesday. Let's start with Hunter Henry, 28. Pete Alonso, 28. Yasiel Puig, 32. Kyle Hendricks, 33. Sean Drone, 35. Billy Horschel, 36. Tank Johnson, 41. Al Thornton, 39. Eric Chavez, 45. Alan Faneca, legend, 46. Hal Harris, 48. T.O., Hall of Famer, 49. Tino Martinez, double nickels. Peter Laviolette, 58. Larry Bird, oh, my God, Larry Bird's birthday, legend, 66. Johnny Bench, legend, 75. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. The Bombers signed Judge, 9 years, $360 million. So no egg on the face for Hal Steinbrenner. We'll hear from Aaron Boone. Padres allegedly offered him $400 million. I wouldn't be surprised. The last phone call from Hal was, look, I'll just give you the $40 mil. Okay. 360 on the deal. No one will know. Here's $40 mil up front for you and the missus. Let's go. You're staying here. Boom. Done deal. That's what I think happened. Odds to win the World Series now. Card sign Wilson Contreras. 5 years, $87 million. The Red Sox sign Kenley Jansen, a 2-year deal. Giants get Mitch Haniger. What a deal. You get Mitch Haniger instead of Aaron Judge. Everybody's going to be lining up for season tickets out in the city by the bay. I mean, they're probably standing there right now. Cubs signed Cody Bellinger, a 1-year deal worth $17 million. Jameson Schatz and Tyone to the Cubs, 4 years, $68 million. Andrew Haney to the Rangers. Cleveland signs Josh Bell. Philly signed Tuan Walker. Pirates win the draft lottery. The next great player that'll be drafted by the Pirates and playing for the Yankees in 6 years. Rob Manfred says that the A's stadium situation is past any reasonable timeline to work a deal out. They are leaving Oakland. And baseball reportedly used 3 different weights in terms of balls during the 22 season. I guess Judge got the really sweet spot balls to hit out of the park. Dubs Anderson will join us this hour. So will Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News. The Bills, bad news. They lose Von Miller for the rest of the season with a torn ACL. He had surgery. Robert Saleh talking about the Bills. Jets Bills Sunday in Shabbat. Jerry Jones not sure it's going to happen with Beckham. The Cowboys get Tyron Smith back at practice for the first time since August and his hamstring tendon injury. The Texans are going back to Davis Mills at starting quarterback, Houston against Dallas. Mike Tomlin on the late season December football and on George Pickens wanting the football. Baltimore in Pittsburgh Sunday at 1 o'clock. Belichick says it's a little late in the season to make major changes. New England and Arizona out in the desert. We welcome all of our radio affiliates. Sirius XM, Channel 159, Mightier 1090, ESPN Radio in San Diego, near T.O. Bona, W.O. Bona, Sports Map Radio Network in Houston, Sports Byline USA, in the city by the Bay, D-Pack holding it down for us. Belichick tops the list of highest paid American coaches in sports at $20 million a year. Trevor Lawrence has a foot injury, severed on Sunday's day-to-day. Doug Peterson hopes Trevor can go. Jack's in Tennessee. John Wolford seems thrilled that Baker Mayfield is going to take his job. Derek Carr on facing Jalen Ramsey. Vegas and the Rams at SoFi on Sunday. We got your lion's share NFL futures today. We do everything there. Mounting consensus that the Broncos are going to fire Nate Hackett after one season in Denver. He's done such a great job with the Broncos. Jimmy G does not need surgery. Could return in 7 to 8 weeks. Robert Quinn of the Eagles to undergo surgery on his knee, out at least 4 games. Jalen Hurts, the player of the week for the second week in a row. Hurts, Bosa, Bagley named NFC players of the week. Burrow, Chandler Jones, Donovan Peoples-Jones, AFC players of the week. NFL betting update, best against the spread, worst, best over, best under, and Super Bowl line movements today on C2C. Plus, today in Carver High history, fans clamor for it. We'll get it done. The Cavs beat the Lakers last night when Anthony Davis suddenly had the flu in the first period and left the game, and that was lights out for your bet. Now, tonight, neither one of them are playing, LeBron or Anthony Davis. What are you going to do? Bet the Raptors. AD, unbelievable. I'm sitting there. I bet on them last night at 4.5. The guy leaves with the flu. Rhea, whatever he left with, that was it. Ticket ripped. Donovan Mitchell with a late three on his way to 43. LeBron says they need AD out there. Gee, you think? LeBron and AD, as I mentioned, out tonight. Mavs, Nuggets, last night. How about Dallas? 116-115, they get it done. Heat looked great. They got blown out 116-96 by the lowly Pistons. We got all of tonight's games, plus college basketball. Mike Blewett will join us from Pro Football Today to talk NFL Pain Day, plus hockey. Nice job by the Islanders last night. Devils beat the Blackhawks. All they do is win. Penguins 4-1 over Columbus. Kings beat the Sens. We got all your hockey for tonight as well. Strap in. It's coast to coast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, Carver High, all is well in the boogie down Bronx.
All is well in the boogie down Bronx. We left here yesterday. Honestly, when we got off the show yesterday, I thought he wasn't coming back. We went through that whole thing where Heyman tweeted he was gone. 4 minutes later, took it back. You had Boone basically looking like he lost his dog when he did his interviews last night in San Diego. I thought he was gone. And then this morning, you wake up, Scotty, and all is good. 9 years, Aaron Judge back with the Yankees, $360 million. I listened to Cashman. He was on about an hour ago doing the media thing there in San Diego. Basically said Hal Steinbrenner, Scotty, he was the Mariano Rivera of these contract negotiations. He got it done. He finished it and got it across for Judge to come back to New York. They had to do it.
Well, look, I think he gave more than that, to be honest with you. As I said earlier, whatever it took, he wasn't going to lose or he'd have egg on his face forever. I don't think he'd ever be able to comfortably run the Yankees ever again the same way he had prior to this guy having that season that he just had. If he lost Judge to the San Francisco Giants or, God forbid, the San Diego Padres, honestly, what could be worse than losing Aaron Judge to the Friars? I mean, they've never done anything in baseball. I don't care what anybody says. You can keep talking all you want out in San Diego. You still have Jack on your resume. Absolute Jack. Nothing. Zero. Squat. Nada. Nine nil nunca. And you cannot go from pinstripes to play in sunny San Diego for any reason whatsoever, ever. And I don't care what anybody says. That's all there is to it. If he would have ended up there, I would have stopped watching baseball, and I mean it. Like, it was down to the Giants for me, and I thought that if Steinbrenner lost him, I said yesterday his father would come back from the dead and kill him. I mean, honestly, like, can you imagine his father turning in his grave and his son ruining the Yankees? I mean, that's essentially what he would have been doing. They could have never let this guy leave after the season that he had, let alone what he's done as a Yankee prior to the great majestical 62 home run season. The guy's been everything for the Yankees. He is Jeter's replacement. He'll be named captain shortly, any day now.
I believe that that is something that they will take care of in spring training very early on when everybody gets to camp. They'll get the carving board out, bring everybody in, and they will announce him as the captain. Maybe they would do it if they do a big presser for him re-signing. They'll probably do it there as well. You mentioned the Padres. They did allegedly offer him $400 million. And that wasn't good enough for Judge. He stays in New York. Here's Boone from last night. Mostly was pretty somber, but he said he wanted to see Judge stay a Yankee for life. Had some pretty good reasons why. Here's Boone.
Is that the impression you got in your conversations?
Yeah, I've always felt that way. I mean, I've always felt that way with Aaron. That, and I always feel like, you know, he certainly belongs in pinstripes, and a guy of his stature and, you know, his greatness, you know, hopefully spends his entire career.
It looks like he's got some sleep, like he actually got some rest the last
time. In the Monument Park and into the Hall of Fame as a Yankee. So he certainly feels that way, and that would be the hope.
I couldn't hear a word you said, Carver High. What'd you say?
I said he actually looks like he's gotten some rest, Boone. Like he looks like he's like clean shaven. He looks like he's slept. Like you saw him in like September, October. He looked like he'd been hit by a couple of buses and like he hadn't slept in 6 months. Like he actually looks like he's had a nice off season, getting some raise and stuff.
Well, your boy, that job takes its toll on everyone. And you know, in New York, at the very least, if you're the manager in New York or the Mets or the Yankees, to me, it's like two seasons every season. That's how much stress there is, and people in your face every day from spring training until the end of October. There's no relief at all, ever, for sleep or otherwise.
We are a long way until next year's World Series, Scotty, to find out who wins it. But last night, when the Judge stuff was going on, I did see the Yankees dip as low as 11-1, 12-1 to win next year's World Series. The Judge news, of course, puts them right back up there near the top. And a lot of these signings today that I'm about to tell you about have configured some things. But Astros, Dodgers, Braves, Yankees, Mets, Jays, Phillies, Padres there for you as we're in the winter.
I wouldn't expect anything differently when it comes to the baseball odds that come out. It's the same flavor of the week every year.
It is. Here's the other stuff that went on, non-Judge related. The Cardinals signed former Cub Wilson Contreras, 5 years, $87 million. The tearful goodbye to the Chicago people, Scotty, and he goes and signs with the arch rival. I love this guy now, Wilson Contreras. That's awesome. I think that's great. He sticks it up the Cubs and goes over to play with the Cardinals. The Red Sox signed Kenley Jansen, 2-year deal. He will be part of the bullpen, the closer. Giants signed Mitch Haniger from Seattle, 3 years, $43 million. I loved last night. Well, that's not because they're not getting Judge. They wanted both guys, Scotty. They wanted Haniger and Judge. That's not a replacement for them not getting Judge. They wanted both of them.
What do you think they're saying in San Francisco today on the radio about getting Mitch Haniger over Aaron Judge? I mean, can you hear it from here. I can hear them from here. I'm in New York City, and I can hear it already. I worked in San Francisco. I mean, they are just doing them six ways till Sunday right now on the radio. They lost Judge, and all you're left standing with is Mitch Haniger. I mean, honestly, that's like, oh, that's as bad as it gets. I don't care what anybody said. Mitch Haniger's a decent player at best.
If they offered him the same amount and he took the Yankees, I know they're probably upset in San Francisco, but, you know, you really had to blow him away to get him away from the Yankees. Let's be honest. You had to go above and beyond. You can't be mad at the guy to go back to where he was for the same amount of money. You just can't.
I think they should have offered him $425 million if they wanted him that badly. Because that's really, I mean, that's Trout money, right? And that would have done it. Instead, they gave him the same amount of money. And, you know, frankly, what Yankee walks away from pinstripes in history for when they get, you know, offered the most money? Name one guy that did it and got away with it. No one walks away from the Yankees that's a great player.
There's other things that factor here for him. Not only is he going to get this $360 million, you know what it's like. We've seen it already in their history. When you're a Yankee for life and you play your entire career in New York for the Yankees and have the accolades that he's going to be able to put up, it's worth more to you even after you stop playing. And you might not get that if you go to San Francisco, as great as that's going to be. So I think the Judge had to equate that into this thing as well. The Cubs are trying to get better. Cody Bellinger, 1 year, $17 million. Jameson Shots of Tyone, Scotty. now drinking at the bars in Chicago. 4 years, $68 million for Jameson Taillon. The Rangers give Andrew Heaney 2 years and $25 million. How about the Phillies giving Taiwan Walker 4 years and $71 million? Nothing like overpaying mediocre pitching, Scotty. You got to love baseball.
Well, I'll tell you what, if I were him, it's a good deal because he gets a lot of money and he goes to a really good team. He's on a really good team. So status quo there, he's good to go. He's going to be in the playoffs.
He certainly is. The Mets signed Jose Quintana now as well. The Pirates won the draft lottery. They will have the top pick in 2023. The Pirates won something.
Yeah, and the kid Davis that they drafted, the catcher in 21, he'll be a Yankee in 4 years. This guy will be a Yankee in 6 years.
I'll give you the rest of the baseball later on.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I got to tell you, Carver High, that is a fascinating story that you just said to me right now. You might as well just talk about it because that just threw me for a loop.
Yeah, this was, I remember a couple of months ago, Scotty, in August, right before the season started, the Bills had that rookie punter, Matt Ariza, who they drafted, the punt god from San Diego State, and they had to cut him. They cut him because of the sexual assault allegations from October of 2021, him and other San Diego State football players that they were being accused of sexual assault. The San Diego County District Attorney's Office has completed its review of the alleged sexual assault and decided no criminal charges will be filed against Ariza or any of the other San Diego State football players that were involved. Ultimately, prosecutors determined it is clear the evidence does not support the filing of charges and there is no path to a potential criminal conviction. That is from San Diego.
I mean, that is so unbelievable. I don't even know where to start. So this guy, if you remember, let's just cut right to it. They ruined his life. I mean, he was thrown out of the NFL so fast your head could spin, and the Buffalo Bills ran away from him faster than Grant took Richmond. They wanted nothing to do with him because he was a alleged rapist, right? So now, all these months later, at the near end of the NFL season, the San Diego DA has said none of them will be charged with anything. There is no evidence to corroborate a rape by any of them. They're not guilty. Bye-bye. End of story. Meanwhile, I have to tell you, the Buffalo Bills ruined his life. They ruined his life. They made him out to be a murderer and a rapist. And that's all there is to it. There's no getting around it. I blame Bean, McDermott, the entire Bills franchise, ruined that kid's life. He got thrown out of the NFL, lost everything, lost his career. He was drafted. He was going to make good money, millions. And now, what's he going to do? Smoke crack? I mean, they destroyed his life. And as far as I'm concerned, the kid deserves to be in the 23 NFL draft and go back into the pool and get drafted because of his talents as a punter and stop with all the shenanigans and nonsense about being a guy that raped a girl. All right, look, it's simple. If they had him, he'd be guilty. He'd be busted. He'd be in jail. He'd be finished. Instead, all he had was his life ruined because of it. How'd you like that to happen to you? All right, Dubs Anderson is joining us. Of course, we're getting ready for the quarterfinals this week in the World Cup, and it has been utterly fantastic. Dubs, good to see you. I want to start with your thoughts on what Morocco did to Spain to set up this matchup this weekend with Portugal after they put a beating on Switzerland like no one's business, and they basically did it without Ronaldo.
Yeah, unbelievable there, Scotty. Just to recap, for Morocco taking on Spain there yesterday, Spain have been one of the form teams coming into week three here in Qatar. I thought they'd have no issues dusting off Morocco. It wasn't the case. I mean, 77% of the possession, they outshot them 13-6. But again, this is the wacky part of the knockout stages. If you can't get a goal, we're going to shootouts and then anything can happen. Luis Enrique, the manager there for the Spanish side, he told all his players before coming to Qatar, 1,000 penalty kicks apiece. Well, Scotty, for me, it did look like they've been doing their homework. Yacine Bono, the true hero there for Morocco, keeping the Cinderella story alive.
Could you even fathom what you saw that kid do in goal with those three stops?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable, Scotty. Look, a lot of people say it's a flip of a coin. You know, once you go to a shootout, I don't buy into that. I think you need the intuition. You got to read the player, read the body language, and he obviously figured him out. And it wouldn't be easy taking those kicks after seeing the first couple of teammates miss there. But Morocco, this could be the sleeper going into the final eight, Scott.
I got to tell you, when I watched the Spaniards line up and start their move to the ball, I thought they were literally readable, like all of them.
Yeah.
Like I actually was like, they're not even putting any kind of a move on. Like when Neymar does it, he does like a drag and then he slows down and then he speeds up and then he does you. Spain just walked right up to it and like, look, I'm going to kick it over here to the left. I mean, it was so obvious what they were doing. Even I could read it.
Yeah, it's no good, Scotty. And my buddy was the goalkeeper for Australia. We got bounced out there last weekend. But he was telling me on the road to Qatar, when we had one of our qualifying matches, we went to a shootout to try and make it in. And what did they discover once they went to the shootout? The other goalkeeper had a bunch of notes written on his water bottle for every single player, the tendencies where they go, left, right, top bins, bottom bins. So they grabbed the water bottle and shoved it into the crowd. So these goalkeepers are looking for any edge they got. Maybe the Morocco shot stopper, Bono, did his homework. So for Spain, that's one of the big teams to fall by the wayside there, alongside Germany and Belgium for me.
I'm sorry. Let me ask you about, you know, you and I have talked a million times about Ronaldo. We were noticing yesterday when it all happened, when they won and they were celebrating and, you know, the kid had the hat trick and they're all out there celebrating after the game and clapping and cheering the fans on that cheered them on, that Ronaldo, as usual, was on his own, walking off the pitch by himself, going to the room. He knew all the cameras were on him. The you know, field camera that hangs on the wire was following the drone. He knew all of that. What do you think of his behavior?
It's not good, Scotty. And now it's a hat trick. I mean, he's done the same thing at Juventus. They had to get rid of him. He did the same thing at Manchester United. They had to get rid of him. And now we saw it in the last game. That is the only reason why he wasn't starting there for Fernando Santos. But lo and behold, Gonzalo Ramos steps up, 21 years of age, gets a hat trick. And maybe this is the end for Cristiano Ronaldo in a team, a national squad where he's worn the captain's armband there for the last couple of decades, thinking he's invincible. I tell you what, Scotty, this Portuguese outfit, 6-1, they look far better without him on the pitch. And sure, he can still score at a very high clip, but it's what he does off the ball, which is a little concerning. He doesn't have the effort. When he's attacking, he's brilliant, but he's just not showing that effort for me, both sides of the pitch. So I would absolutely stick with Ramos and say, look, Cristiano, if you want to be the veteran amongst the squad and help these young guys try and get that very first World Cup victory, it's going to be coming from the bench. We'll use that X factor. You can bring on that spark in the 60th minute. But I hate to use the old T-bomb. He's a little toxic, Scotty. We've now seen it three different occasions on a pretty big stage for Portugal. I'd say stick him on the pine.
Can England stop Mbappe?
Look, this is going to be the matchup for me on Saturday afternoon. They absolutely can, Scotty. Yeah, I'm not big on England. You know, the French have been my side from day one, and you can still get them plus 460, plus 470 at the books, which I think is a fantastic live number. The best player in the world gets the Ballon d'Or, Karim Benzema. He's not even part of this French side. The next guy in line, I think it is Kylian Mbappe. He's had a fantastic tournament. I think he will get the golden ball. But you look at the English side, who's their X factor going to be? Prince Harry Kane taking on King Kylian. What a matchup that is. But it's not just Harry Kane. They've got Jude Bellingham, who's had a bit of a breakout tournament. They've got Rashford, Foden, Saka, and they don't have that scar tissue from previous failed World Cup attempts, taking on the defending champions, the French. It is going to be a fantastic matchup. And for me, if the French want to get it done, it can't just be Kylian Mbappe. I'm looking at Griezmann, who's been sneaking under the radar. I think he could bag a first-time goal there at 9-1. And Olivier Giroud, who's been fantastic as well. Probably one of the best haircuts over there in Qatar as well there, Scotty. The yeah. French for me.
It's important to have a nice, clean look.
It is. Yeah.
How about Messi against the Netherlands? I thought the Netherlands toyed with the Americans.
They did. And look, the Netherlands have been okay without being great, but I do think Messi has got enough talent, enough skill, enough motivation, and enough help around him to dust off the Netherlands. So I'm going to ride with Argentina. They're number three in the FIFA World Rankings. And Messi, Cristiano, both superstars, probably their last World Cups, looking for their very first victory at the World Cup. I wouldn't mind seeing Messi get the win. For Cristiano, no. I mean, Messi does it with so much class on the pitch and off the field, Scotty. It'd be fantastic to see Argentina get the win.
They talk about wives and girlfriends at the World Cup. I got to tell you, your boy Messi's got that department all locked up.
He's doing all right, isn't he?
He's got everything under control. Will Croatia play dirty against Neymar in Brazil?
Oh, Luka Modric. I don't think they will, Scotty, and I don't think they've got the firepower. I think all roads are going to lead to a Brazil taking on French in the final. Neymar is back from that concerning injury we saw there in the first week. If it's not Neymar, it's Richarlison, it's Vinicius Jr. They could probably have two teams in this World Cup, and they'd both be here in the final eight. So I think they'll be far too good. And Neymar, who's been plagued with injury over his career, to take on Messi, the next step there, PSG teammates, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. I think we will see that. And then it boils down to France against, I think, Portugal. But look, anyone that doubts Morocco got a lesson real quick yesterday about how you think you got it all figured out until you're standing there with an L on your forehead. Dubs, great stuff. I can't wait to see the final eight of the World Cup. By the way, I think I have to say this. I think it's been great in Qatar. I have absolutely no problem with it. I think it's just been pure soccer. I don't care about all their politics and religion and all their this and that, no beer sales. I think the World Cup's been great.
I think it's been fantastic. The new age of superstars, front and center, Scotty, all about the soccer.
My man, Dubsy Anderson.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, Mike DeCourcy is always my favorite of the week on Coast to Coast. Don't tell anybody. But, Mike, I have to tell you, there's one thing that I remembered most. My favorite part of – and no one will ever figure this out. My son, nobody. My favorite part of going back to Indiana was not going to Assembly Hall, which was certainly top shelf status. That was right up there with, you know, I mean, it doesn't get any better than going back to old Assembly Hall. But it was being at the game, and before the game, and you know this, they run the clip of the old lady mopping the floor at Assembly Hall, and she starts singing, "Oh, Indiana, oh, Indiana, oh, Indiana, we're all for you." And she's, you know, 300 pounds, and she's down underneath the bowels of the arena, mopping up after Bob Knight, all his foul language. And she's got her scarf on her head, and she's singing. And the video is literally 40 years old. I mean, it's 40 years old, that video. And they run it clearly before every game. And when that lady started singing that song, I was sitting in the worst seats you ever could see in your life for $1,200. I was literally in the asbestos seats, the wedge where the first deck goes right up into the upper deck. And I was in the last row up before the upper deck over the top of it up in here in the asbestos section. And I was literally I was welling up, Mike, when the lady was singing. I started welling up. I got all kind of squishy in my eyes.
I love when I go to games and the school, like, you have like two choices kind of, and some schools kind of split it up. But you have two choices. One is to pretend like you have zero history, or maybe you do have zero history, and just show your team dunking a bunch. Or you like celebrate this great tradition you have. And you see that at Kentucky, and you see that at IU, where like you get, you know, you get your look at Calbert Chaney and Isaiah Thomas and Bob Knight and all of that. And
right.
And it gets you, it reminds you of why Indiana is special. And, you know, as someone who didn't go there, the mop lady thing, it doesn't really touch me quite as much. But when it goes from that into the whole thing about who's played there and why it matters, I think that's a great thing. I don't know why more schools, even more pro teams don't do that.
So I went to Zagreb's for a steak, right? And I'm sitting there. I get in the booth. The place is packed. And I'm there with my son, his friend, and my buddy. And we sit down. The first thing I do, I look to my left, and there's a picture literally right next to my face of Bob Knight in his sweater rolled up over his giant belly coaching the Hoosiers. And I was right at home. 5 minutes later, here comes Trace Jackson Davis in the front door of the restaurant. My son jumps out of his seat, 18 years old, and runs over and takes a picture with him. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. I'm like, and I take him to the IU North Carolina game, and it's like, gang, 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 gang. And I looked over at him, I said, so where do you want to go to school? And he looked at me like, I said, yeah, this is where you're going to school right here. This is where you're going. You're going to Indiana. Screw USC. Screw UCLA. Screw Cal. You're going to Indiana. He's like, it's freezing ass outside. I was like, what? I can't hear you. It's freezing ass. I said, what? Yeah, Indiana by 5. Easy. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm on your son's side because I've been to SC and especially UCLA in January. And so, you know, if I had to do it all over again, you know, I mean, that would not be a bad thing. So, hey, you're going to be paying out of state tuition either way there, Dad.
Stop trying to influence my son, Mike, with all of your nonsense. Honestly, we were talking earlier, Dubs Anderson and I, about this guy, the rock star from that big band U2 that made all those saves yesterday in the World Cup, the Bono fella. I never knew he had a side gig as a soccer goalie.
Yeah, he was tremendous yesterday. Morocco's goalkeeper, his nickname is Bono, it's also his last name. I presume he must pronounce it that way because he shortens it to the U2 spelling Bono. That's not how his real name is spelled. I think it's Bounu, and he is originally from Canada and moved to Morocco at a young age and has been playing in Spain for most of the last 15 years or so. And he was phenomenal, and Spain was not, let's be honest. I mean, he did everything right, including getting in their heads. But the main thing was that they just kept, instead of, you think about the penalty that Matt Turner couldn't stop against Wales. Think about how that went down, okay? You have a confident, swaggering star player step up and blast the ball into the back of the net, and Matt Turner jumps right and he even gets his hand up there, but it doesn't matter because Gareth Bale smashed it right through him. And how little of that have we seen in the round of 16 shootouts? It's all been, gee, can I get him to move? Let's dance. Let's jump around. Let's stop. Let's go again, and then get no power. And then the ball rolls right to the keeper. I respect what Bale did. That's the way a great penalty is taken. That's the primary ingredient. Unless you have completely convinced that you can get the guy going the wrong way, but you probably shouldn't be stuttering four times before you go up there. And what I mean by stuttering, I mean stopping right. And starting, and then going up. That's not usually going to work.
So when you saw what Santos did to Ronaldo with all of his shenanigans, and then the kid, this young kid goes out and has a hat trick, could you even believe it? Like, what a facial on Ronaldo that old coach said, listen, you're going to sit your prima donna ass down, and I'm going to play this kid half your age. And then he goes out and has that first goal was top shelf, a rocket upstairs. And then from that point, I mean, I thought he could have had 4 or 5 goals in the game, Mike.
He could. And you know, for a coach to make a move like that, you're talking about a guy who entering the World Cup had one cap. He had played one time in a pre-World Cup friendly for 23 minutes, I believe, and then had played twice in this World Cup for, I believe, a total of 10 or 12 minutes. And then he goes out, he starts, and he gets a hat trick. I mean, that's a coach who's sleeping on the right side of the bed, said his prayers the night before, all of that. But the young man really did a great job. Now, it'll be a little different because Morocco is going to do the same thing to them that they did to Spain in the round of 16. They're going to sit back. They're going to make it really hard. But you just got to get one. You don't have to get 6. You just have to get one. And if you do, Morocco's going to struggle to match it.
What do you think is going to happen to Cristiano Ronaldo with as bad as he's getting it these days from a, you know, worldwide press? I mean, that this guy is just, he's vilified, and that he's this horrible person, and that he's this prima donna, and that he can't last anywhere, and he's just such a problem. I mean, that's the reputation they've given him. I mean, you can't even deny it, that he's this team wrecker, and that now he's not playing but 20 minutes, 15 minutes a game, and you know he's miserable. We've heard it. He's going to make $200+ million a year in Saudi Arabia. I heard that might not even be true either. What's going to happen? What's going to become of one of the greatest players the world's ever known?
Yeah, you know, I think that first of all, I think these next, if there are 3 games, however many games remain, are really important to his legacy. I believe that he has to be totally on board, celebrating when the team scores. You know, if they get another goal and everybody runs down, everybody that's in a bib on the bench runs down, he's got to be like the first guy down there now. He can't think about it. He's got to be like the first guy down on the pile, you know, congratulating his teammate. Because winning that World Cup for Portugal is the number one goal now. Whatever his contributions are, whether it's coming in late, if they need a goal, or, you know, like if Morocco's tactics work as well against Portugal as they did against Spain, that means it's, you know, 60, 70, 80, 90 minutes and they haven't scored. And you know at that point, Fernando Santos will send him out there. And that doesn't necessarily mean he'll withdraw the young player, Gonzalo, that necessarily will pull him out, but that you're not going to leave a threat like Ronaldo on the bench in a game like that. So he's got to go out and embrace that. And even if it doesn't happen, then he's got to embrace being a part of that team, being a leader of that team from the bench. And whatever successes they have, he's got to be celebrating that. Because as I wrote today, like if they win 3 more, they're going to hand Cristiano Ronaldo the World Cup. And he's going to be pictured with that cup in his hands, and they'll never be able to take that away from him. He'll have taken Portugal to the World Cup and won it, which they've never done before. So even if, you know, even if everyone will know that his role in that was not enormous, he'll have that trophy and that picture in his, you know, in his trophy case, and Messi won't, and will never get it. And other, you know, Johan Cruyff never got it. So some of the world's greatest players haven't gotten it, and he would have, even as a limited contributor. So that how he handles these next 1 to 3 games are as important as the 118 career goals he scored, as all the Ballon d'Ors, you know, the champion. This is so crucial for him. If he breaks it, if he messes this up, then everything he's accomplished will be looked at through a different lens.
I do want to bring up Jim Harbaugh to you of what he's done in Ann Arbor with the Michigan Wolverines in back-to-back years. I said earlier this week on the show, I've been to 5 Bo Schembechler Rose Bowl losses in person. He went 2-8, I think, in Rose Bowls. And back then, that's all that mattered was the Rose Bowl to the Big Ten and to Bo Schembechler. That's all he lived for. And his buddy, people don't realize he was friends with Woody Hayes. Woody Hayes won national championships. And Woody Hayes, of course, was disgraced after punching a Clemson player. Bo never did that. But I think Jim Harbaugh has become bigger than Bo Schembechler in Ann Arbor.
Well, I think that you have to remember, I mean, it's been 35 years since Bo coached. And so his memory is still strong, but there is that fact that, you know, the national championship didn't happen a lot for him. And that is kind of how we define it. I mean, Bo always defined it in his own way, and I don't think he really would care about how he's viewed in that sense, because he was so wrapped up in that idea that the Rose Bowl was all that mattered, getting to the Rose Bowl. I never bought that. As someone who followed sports across the board, I never bought the idea that just winning a bowl game was good enough. I thought that winning a championship mattered more.
Right.
College football's championship has been flawed forever and won't be starting in 2024, thank goodness. We'll finally have a real championship. But
right.
I think that what Harbaugh has done is he has shown that firing coaches is not always the best idea. It wasn't working at the level that it should have for the first 4 or 5 years. But it wasn't terrible either, except for the COVID year. And those programs that have made decisions based on how COVID sunk their program generally haven't fared as well as they did prior to that. And those programs that said, hey, you know what? That was a weird year. Let's see what we can do. Let's move forward. And like Michigan in football, more than anybody, won two Big Ten titles in a row, took care of Ohio State, both home and road in consecutive years. Now are in the playoff for the first two times they've ever been since it was introduced in 2014. They made the right decision instead of just saying, hey, let's start all over again.
I hope they beat Georgia and win the national championship. That's what I think is going to happen. Real quick, 5 seconds. Does Nebraska give Indiana a game tonight?
I think they will. They're playing really well. The Creighton game, weirdest result all year.
Right, they beat them. All right, Mike, I'll see you next week. Great stuff, my man.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, enough of the nonsense already, Carver High. Why don't the A's just announce they're moving to Las Vegas and quit playing this game with the commissioner and with baseball and with fans? And I don't care anymore about that dump they play in and all this other rhetoric.
Yeah, it is nonsense at this point. Manfred said yesterday in San Diego that the A's stadium situation is, quote, past any reasonable timeline to work out a deal with the city of Oakland. It's tiring at this point. Just leave. We've been doing this now. We haven't been doing this for 2 years. We haven't been doing this for 5 years. We've been doing this forever. They need to leave at this point. Like, this is just nonsense. Vegas is there. It's an easy fix. I feel bad for Oakland, I guess. The guys, the people that are there that are actually fans of their teams, because they don't work on the city council and they don't decide how stadiums get built. They're going to lose the Raiders to Vegas, and now they're going to lose the A's to Vegas. It's that simple. That's just how it goes.
And I'll tell you what, it's so easy to make this happen. How quickly were the Raiders out of there and into Las Vegas and into their new facilities? And how normal are things in Las Vegas for the Raiders? And for that matter, how quickly they started up an NHL team. They could turn this trick on the A's in 5 minutes, if you ask me, as quick as they can build a new resort.
They got Allegiant built fairly quickly. And that was with COVID going on. They were able to get that done at the end of it and get Allegiant up and running at the bottom of that strip. We've heard that there's different places where maybe they would put the baseball stadium if it came to that, maybe outside the city, etc. But at this point, they have to get it done. I'm done with the Oakland stuff. When we come back, I want to give a minute on this other thing with the baseball, Scotty, because I'm tired of this. We've had this other talk in the past. They're screwing around with the baseballs. They're using different baseballs. And you know who it hurts? Us, because we bet on these games. It hurts us that they use all these different baseballs whenever they pick and choose. It bothers me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why it wouldn't bother you. It's dirty. It's corrupt. It's cheating.
Extremely dirty.
That's funny. Baseball is cheating everyone, including themselves.